It's the Tiltcast, episode 120. We are the Architects.
And tonight we're going to be talking about some Colonial Marines, a la Aliens. We're also going to be talking about some Dead Space 3, some Skyrim mods, some Sunhold Downpour, and a bunch of other stuff. So, stay tuned.
Revengeance. Durr.
And welcome back to another episode of the Tiltcast. This is Trent, and across from me is Justin.
Hey, what's up?
I'm Trent, and Holly is not here. She's taking her clothes off.
And this is part three of the episode that almost didn't happen.
Once again, yes.
What, do we know what the fuck's going on?
I'm not sure exactly what it is. So
we apologize to you guys for this being out late. This is me and Trent trying for the third time to give you an episode.
Yeah, it's incredibly painful. Luckily I caught it, but yeah.
We're in the squeaky chairs.
Oh. So this time around, we're huddled in Trent's bedroom.
Huddled, it's actually pretty... it's a decent situation.
Well, closer quarters than I'm used to. Going old school here.
Yeah. But so, we have the big computers here, and you'll have your laptop in here, and...
Yeah.
Antique chairs.
Yeah.
Awesome stuff. So, anyways. What have you been up to, Justin?
Alright, so this story's probably getting old to you, Trent.
Yeah, no shit. It was old the first time.
Yeah, because we'd already talked about it.
Yeah.
We played Gauntlet this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We had some fun with that. Played some Gears 3 with Nymph, Moonpeer, you, me, and Holly. Yes. Got all the way through Wave 40 and about 2 a.m. And
then Holly and Moonpeer.
Yeah, they had to bail.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's alright. We understand. Next time will be better. So far, though, I mean, do you like Gears?
Yes, I am digging it.
Not as bad as you thought?
No, I didn't think it was bad. I just don't care much for the characters in it. You know, they're just a little...
They kind of grew on you.
They're a little two-dimensional for me.
They are two-dimensional, but yeah. They're fun. It's a good game.
It's just like, oh, fuck shit. Look at the side of that thing. Let's cure it. You know, that just gets a little... It's like squirrel.
It's very jarhead.
I don't mind that. It's just that type of jarhead where it's almost brainless, kind of.
There's some decent story to it. I mean, once you kind of dig into it,
it's like she has boobs. She can't be a good marine.
Hey, no, they actually have one of the best marines in the game. Is
Jake. Yeah, I know.
I mean, you got Coltrane. Coltrane's really great.
Yep.
After a while, he kind of grows on you. He's intensely entertaining. But more so than that, that game's good. Multiplayer is really decent. I hope Judgment has as good a horde mode if they don't even improve on it.
Well, yeah, the tower defense stuff they could improve on.
I don't know if they would necessarily need to go all out tower defense, but I think my thing that holds it back is those barriers get so expensive to keep repairing.
Yeah.
That it doesn't make it worth it to rebuild them every time. It's one of those things that, yeah, I'll like repair them every 5 rounds.
Now, for me, it's just having more variety in what you can do would be nice.
Better autocannon would be better.
Yeah, also different types of autocannon. Like different
and Silverback not costing an arm and a leg would be nice. I mean, yeah. It costs, you have to save up for a few rounds, like 10, to really be able to even afford it.
Yeah, but having like different types of rounds that you can select on the auto turrets, actually having some towers that do some damage as well, like actually, like, you know,
I think something. If they included barricades instead of just barriers, that would be nice.
So that you can kind of funnel people with, but they can't really go through, but they can damage over time.
Or just give you placement.
Yeah, so you can funnel, yeah.
And that would be even better. I mean, if I could put, like, 6 rows of barricades inside a doorway, know that it's going to take a while for someone to get in there.
Yeah.
That would help.
Well, it's like on Assassin's Creed Revelations, where you could build those barricades during the, holding your guild houses,
yeah,
and stuff, and you can just put 3 of them back to back, so it just takes them a really long time. And you just put the majority of your assassins there, so it's just a kill box. That's pretty much the best way to play those, so you don't lose. But it really helps out having those multiple barricades. So
there's that.
Skyrim.
Played some Skyrim. Yeah, because I start naming them off now. Yeah. So yeah, I played some Skyrim. I'm not going to go too far into this. At this point, we are just wanting to get you guys up to date on what's going on in gaming.
Yeah.
So, Skyrim, there's some mods of note. If you get the Diamondized mod, which I got for skin textures, grabbing stuff fast and not reading through descriptions very much. I just read on a forum, hey, here's a decent skin texture mod. And it's like, mods, all right. grab Nexus Mod Manager out, find the mod, download, install, and I find out that, yeah, it's like kind of a unintentional nudie mod, because every time you kill something, and of course, you just hit loot all.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't realize there'd be bush. That was kind of weird. So, that being said, the skin textures on it are pretty good, and makes things look a little bit more real. What I did find, though, is I did find, like, an underwear mod so that I could put underwear back on those characters so it wasn't so weird playing it.
Yeah.
So, that helped. Realistic lighting's really good. Got rid of my EMB. The EMB was just taxing the shit out of my system. It was... Took a game that, with the HD texture pack, was running 60 frames a second down to, like, 30.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, maybe I just need to get a new card. And I was like, I don't have enough money for a new card, so I'm just going to take off the EMB because it doesn't make... It makes a big difference, but to me, the sacrifice in gameplay was too much. So,
yeah.
Got rid of that. But I did get, like, new weapon models and new armors and things like that, and that part's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, like I was saying earlier, well, the audience didn't hear, got, like, a dwarf mod, so now I have a dwarf character I can use. They got a new beard mod, so it's like the Dwemer. I don't know, how do you say it? Did you say it? Dwemer?
Dwemer.
Dwemer, something like that. You know what I'm talking about. Those, like, big braid beards you see on the statues.
Yeah.
My dwarf has those, which is really fucking cool.
We're all very familiar with Dwemer cogs.
Yeah.
You see them everywhere, and they're expensive.
Yeah, so. They're heavy as shit.
Yeah, you loot them, go, oh, I'm gonna make a killing, and you're just like, you are over-encumbered. You're like, oh, goddamn it.
So, yeah, I've been playing with that, and of course, you know, you hit the tilde key, and then hit show race menu, then you got, you know, you can manage your races again and pretty much build whatever character you want anytime you get bored.
Nice.
So that's been pretty cool. Lost my laundry to some thief.
Yeah.
Lost all my pairs of pants. That sucked balls. I don't know if I've been that mad in several months. Or something so petty. But I was down to just a pair of, like, running shorts, which is what I'm wearing right now.
Yes.
So... Literally had to go to Kohl's and, like, a pair of, like, nylon running shorts and buy clothes. I felt pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, that you should have.
So, that was fun. And then a good friend of mine, Jason, came up and gave me a bunch of pairs of pants and a kick-ass wolf t-shirt with a Doing Board Gear logo on it. It's a wolf t-shirt. So, that's kind of cool.
Nice.
Part of the pack.
Nice.
But, all that aside, new things that I've been playing. I've been playing some Colonial Marines, which me and you will talk about at length in a little bit.
Yeah.
Once
again.
Once again. But we've gotten gotten all the spite out, and now we can talk reasonably, so that'll be good.
Yeah.
I play a little bit of the demo for Revengeance, Metal Gear Revengeance.
Nice.
And I don't know what to think about that. I mean... Raiden has gotten so, like, off-canon at this point. I mean, I guess he is on-canon in certain ways, but Metal Gear, to me, was always, like, Snake, the...
It's a military game, you know, it's very military. Now it just looks very... It looks like...
Like, very Cyber Ninja.
It's Sega. It's Sega.
It's very Sega. It's very arcade. It's really the best way to put it. And it feels really gimmicky. Like, maybe if I was 14, this would be really cool. I don't even know. Like... I'm sick of fucking emo-ass hairstyles and Japanime hairstyles to begin with, but more so than that, the sword I thought might be cool until I found out how the gameplay mechanic works.
Mm-hmm.
And X and Y do different sword attacks, and those are really fairly effective. You just mash the shit out of them and move back and forth between killing people, and it gets very Gods of War, Dante's Inferno for a second.
Yeah.
Again, something that game has never been about. It's always been very stealth-based.
Sorry. That's typical. Funny. James Huff, like, lights on. So I was like, I wonder what he liked on. Yeah.
Memes.
It's a picture of a crooked rainbow and it says, go home, rainbow, you're drunk. That's good. Anyways, go ahead.
So, yeah, those fast attacks are very much like, you know, arcade fighting game, which, I mean, that's okay if you want to play that kind of game.
Like
God of War, Dante's Inferno. I mean, it kind of plays off like that. You move one direction and hit that button that performs different types of attacks and kind of chain them together.
Yeah.
You know, Dante, or, you know, like Devil May Cry style.
Just like, you know, button mashers. So.
So, and then it gets to the skills challenges where you have to, like, manually slice, which involves switching your look button. So look was with right stick. Then you hold down left trigger and it goes into sword mode. And then your look is your left stick, which completely throws you off. and then you aim your slice with your right stick, and then you pull back and then release, or pull forward and then release, and then there's a slice. Well, that throws me completely off with my camera control. So, like, half the time I'm looking at the sky or the ground when I'm doing this, because it threw me all backwards.
Yeah.
Because I was getting ready to slice with my left stick and use that to aim like I would any other fucking game.
Mm-hmm.
That totally fucks me up. And I found no use for it throughout the entire demo. Aside from the stuff that you obviously have to slice, and it starts you off in like a VR demo thing, kind of like they've done in some of the other games. It's a bunch of fruit, or like guys with, like cardboard cutout guys with hostages, and you gotta cut the guy out instead of the hostage, and, you know, that's alright, but it doesn't feel Metal Gear at all. Aside from the really campy dialogue, which can be fun sometimes, but it's really fucking campy. I mean, it's to the point I'm just like, this is too fucking Sega. Like, it's campy to a degree that I don't know if I can get behind. I'm not buying this, guys. If you guys want a review, why don't you get with a site that gets this for free and trashes on it, because I'm sorry, I can't. With me already sinking money on a lemon, I'm not really apt to do that again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's my rant for, what, 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Trent?
Work, as always. Training new girl. She might be a lesbian. That sucks. Because she's cute. and talented. And smart.
Be cute, talented, and funny. Smart, and funny, and
straight.
Be a lesbian.
Well, no, I'm just saying, no. It sucks because I got a thing for her. So it kind of sucks if she's gay.
if she is, you already said she was.
No, I don't know if she is. It's one of those things where I can't tell. So, but anyways, what else? Play some Silent Hill Downpour. I'll go into that later. Dead Space 3, finally beat that. And then Colonial Marines. And I watched Silent Hill Revelations, the new one. Which I'll tie that in with Downpour.
Right.
So, anyways. So, jumping into things. Dead Space 3. Now, you had asked me where I ranked Dead Space 3 compared to Dead Space 2 and 1. And I said that Dead Space 3 is about on par with Dead Space 2, because there's stuff in Dead Space 2 I really liked. Especially at the end of the game was really great. It's more of a mental kind of mindfuck. Dead Space 3 is very action-packed. They brought back the gigantic boss fights that you had in the first one that they seem to kind of slightly be missing in the second. Plus, just visceral was able to take a game that they, you know, part one's been out, part two's been out, and reimagine it in a way to where now you have your own gun, like, manufacturing. You can actually find the parts to create guns, and you set it all up from the frame to the module that goes on it to make, like, if you want to make it the 90-degree, you know, plasma cutter, if you want to make a javelin gun or whatever. And they brought in some new guns, and you can actually mix the guns together to where your alternative fire, your alt fire, you can actually choose what it is. So you can have a plasma cutter, but then you can add on a increased fire burst, so it's actually just constant do-do-do-do, you know, rather than having a slow rate of fire. You can also add javelin onto it to where you're firing with your alt button, pinning enemies to walls and shit, which is really nice. You can add that in. You can add acid, like an acid effect to your rounds, fire effect, stuff like that. So it's very customizable, so it's kind of a different experience for everybody. And they made it to where you can only carry two weapons at a time rather than four.
Yeah, but they're totally customizable, so that makes up for it.
Yeah, exactly. So, it makes up for it, and I never really had a problem with ammo. I mean, there were times where I was carrying like 5,000 rounds of fucking ammo. Yeah, but I bought ammo a lot. Yeah, because you have to make it. They don't sell it at store anymore. They don't have stores in this one. You actually have to find salvage to be able to make stuff like med kits, ammo, anything you want. There are certain secret areas you can get into. You used to have to use extra power nodes that you had for upgrading to open up those secret doors. Now you have to make bars, like actual handles for them in order to open them up, which is kind of cool. They took away a lot of the hologram doors, because it used to be you walk up to a door and a hologram pops and says open. This is a much, you know, older environment. You're in 200 years old, so a lot of times you have to use your Kinesis mod to grab the door and turn the handle manually. So it's kind of like it kind of brings in that this is old stuff, but at the same time, when you're trying to get the fuck out of a room because you know there's shit crawling through the vents behind you, it kind of adds to that little bit of tension, which is kind of nice. It's just those little things that they did that made it really fun. And you asked me what I would rank it as on the Star System. I actually would give this one a 5. There was no glitches on PC, right on Windows 8. Solid story, solid gameplay. They reinvented a lot of elements of it, but didn't make it too alien. All around, really great game. It's definitely going to be one of my Game of the Years. So, and that's
putting that on the list.
10 months away.
Right. So.
And there's still more to come this year, but that one. They left it open for another one, for Dead Space 4, which will be a little bit different if they go with it. But I'm looking forward to it. So, moving on.
Yeah, moving on. You talked about... you mentioned Silent Hill. And I know that you watched the movie.
Okay, you had your little rant about Revenge. I'm going to have a little rant really quick. I love Silent Hill. Silent Hill 1, 2, and 3, and even 4 were really good. Back when they actually had... excuse me. Part 1, 2, and 3 had the whole mythos of the cult in it. By part 4, that was starting to kind of dwindle away. They didn't have too much of it, but I think they were trying to go more in a movie-friendly type way because they were being optioned for a film. They were talking about doing it, and I think they really wanted to make 4 the storyline for a film. So they put the game out for them to see. I'm not sure, but it feels that way because it was such a departure from the usual stuff.
Right.
It was a lot more consumer-friendly compared to 1, 2, and 3, which were just mindfucks. This was a little bit more palatable. But that mythos was really important, and when Silent Hill 1 came out, I was super excited, because I saw the previous 4, and I was like, oh, it really looks like Silent Hill. They did a great job with the town and the effects. It just looks awesome. And Pyramid Head, oh, wow. And I was a little peeved, because I was just like, well, Pyramid Head's not in the first game, but, I'll let it slide, because he's cool. And went to see it, and I was pissed. They fucked it up so bad. They made the cult... You feel bad for the cult. They changed Alessa Gillespie around. They made Dahlia Gillespie, a good person. She's like, I just loved my daughter, and I was tricked by the Order. Bullshit. She's pretty much the head of the fucking Order. You know, they screwed the whole thing up. And... Yeah. But anyways. And then Silent Hill Origins came out for the PSP, and I was really excited, because I was like, here's a portable game. You know, I can play this. That was really short. It wasn't bad. It was just really short. It was like 4 hours. You know, no real replay value. And then, and that guy's name was Creedy, the guy you played in it. And there's a point I'm bringing that up. There's a reason I'm bringing that up for. Anyways, and then Silent Hill 5 came out, which is a little bit better, except for after Silent Hill 1 came out, they started adopting the movie elements into the games. So they changed the way Pyramid Head looked. They changed the way that the nurses looked. They made them more sexual like they were in the movie. They actually showed the transition between real world or fog world into the darkness, which I didn't mind because that was actually a cool effect. But they kind of abandoned everything that they had done and started adopting more of what the movies had, which really pissed me off. And then this one comes out. I decided to watch Revelations before I played it. And because that's based on Silent Hill 3, which I love. You've played part 1.
I played 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Didn't really play them that much afterwards.
Didn't you play The Room a little bit?
I played 4.
Yeah, The Room. And I love that one. That's got a great soundtrack, too, and it's really well done. Part 3 is a continuation of Part 1. So it's Harry Mason years later, like 17 years later. The little girl that you get at the end of the game, if you get the good ending, is all grown up. You've changed her name to Michelle. You try to keep her protected from the Order. And... In the game, of course, you know, Harry dies at the very beginning. She comes home and finds him eviscerated, and there's a blood on the wall that says, come to Silent Hill, and of course, you know, being a teenager, she decides to go.
Right.
And the detective, Cartwright, I think his name, drives her there. He was hired by the Order to find her, but he realizes these people are fucked up. You know, they killed her fucking father, or at least who she thought was her father, and so she finds out that Harry just took care of her. She reads the detective files all the way to Silent Hill and finds out the truth about Harry and how he tried to protect her and all this shit. And they change it to where the detective dies like in the first 5 fucking minutes of when he first comes in. There's some kid named Vincent who you know is an Order member right off the bat because he's a douchebag. Not a really big secret there. And they just changed everything around and made it so Hollywood. And they kept with the whole the Order are victims, you know, of their own greed or whatever, and they fucked up and now they're suffering for it. But you get the Silent Hill and the whole ghost world, the fog world, is populated by people walking through the streets, like, huddling for warmth and shit, and you're like, this is nothing like Silent Hill. Why are there so many people there?
That's yeah, especially when it was a game based, or a series that's always based, been based on atmosphere, with lack of things.
Yeah, with just being completely isolated. I was pissed. I was really pissed. And by the end of it, I was just like, that was the end. It was an hour and a half movie. It felt like it was 45 minutes, not because it was action-packed, just because it was. I was pissed the entire time I was watching it, so I was adrenaline mode. The video game Downpour starts you off in a prison, and you're in there for whatever reason. You don't know at first, but it just... The graphics really are not that good. They're very dated from when this game came out, which was just last year.
Especially since those games have always been so cutting edge before.
Yeah, except for Silent Hill 1. That was... At the time, it was really good. The graphics in Silent Hill Shattered Memories looked better than this one. That was Wii.
Well, that wasn't even high res, though.
No, but they still looked better. This really does not look that good. So, yeah, I'm still going to play it just to see if the story is good. Holly hated it, so maybe I'll like it, because she's always telling me how good certain movies are, and they're total shit, so maybe it works the other way, too, if she hates something, ends up being really good. So.
She has different tastes than you.
She has no taste. Anyway, joking. But I'm going to play it this weekend before I give a really honest opinion, but so far, an hour into it, I was just like, what the fuck is this about? This is just weird. So, all that aside, the reason why I brought up Creedy was because at the end of the movie, they have a very happy, everybody is happy ending to Silent Hill Revelations. And when you're leaving Silent Hill in the movie, you see a cop car drive by, which makes you think of the original Silent Hill with the police officer. But then you see a prison bus go by, which you're in a prison bus in Silent Hill Downpour that gets veered off the road, which makes you think they're going to go into that. But even worse... is a semi-truck comes along. When I saw the semi-truck, I was like, oh, fuck, they're not going to do that, are they? And they get in the cab, and he's like, my name's Creedy. I haven't been around these parts in a long time. And then Origins, which takes place a long time before Silent Hill 1, it's when the spirit was parted originally, and Harry Mason got Cheryl way before the game took place. That guy who pulled Alyssa Gillespie's body as it was burning in the house, his name was Creedy.
Right.
So, that's just... It was a nod to the fans, but it was more like a fucking middle finger with a fist up their ass. Just going like, we just blew your mind. All three, all at once, driving and leaving Silent Hill. What do you think of that? There's more than one Silent Hill. It's like, I already knew that. But thanks for fucking it up. So.
Right.
Yeah, so fuck Silent Hill. Film wise, we'll see if they redeem themselves with Downpour next week. Moving on, let me think. You ready to jump into some?
I am ready as hell to jump into some aliens. And the reason that I want to do that is because, well, I want to preface this. Me and you are pretty big aliens fans. I think you're a bigger aliens fan than I am.
Oh, yeah.
But I've been watching them since I was a kid. I mean, they were like the ultimate horror sci-fi back in the 80s. It was a big deal. I mean, like, Alien was scary as shit when I was a kid. Aliens 2 was intense as hell.
Yeah.
And Aliens 3 wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Aliens 4 didn't exist. So.
Thank God.
It didn't come out until, like, 15 years after. Well, not quite. But,
It came out in late 90. No, not 97. It came out, because that's when I graduated high school. It came out in, like, early 2000s. It was, like... No, sorry, no, it came out like 99, 98. 97 is when I graduated high school. It came out about 99, because I was living down on 4th and Yale.
Okay.
And I went to go see it with my roommate, Jose.
So
he was Cuban. My name is Cuban Pete.
So, that being said, I mean, you know the canon inside and out. I'm pretty familiar with the canon.
I know the canon inside out, everything.
I'll say this, when I play an Aliens game, we've been looking for an Aliens game for a long time. And we've been looking for one that captures the atmosphere, the sound, and the tension that you experience in the movies. Part of that tension is based on a good human story.
Yeah, not just a whole bunch of people sitting there grab-assing, making manly remarks to each other.
And though that happens in the Aliens movie, that's not the focal point.
They're pointed, though. They have a reason, you know? Like, Vasquez, you ever been mistaken for a man? no, have you? And then, like, yeah. You know, Drake's like, you're just too bad. You know, he's saying, she's
too bad.
What shows that they're best of friends, first off, Vasquez and Drake.
Yeah.
And that he's just like, it's not a sexual, they're just like best of friends. They're comrades.
Right.
And that everybody in there likes to take jabs at each other, but they're very close. You know?
Right. It's like close knit family.
Has a point to it. Hearing dialogue in the game, like, you know, if you open your mouth, they're going to be scooping your brains out of the trash can. First off, that means you're going to blow his brains out, but then you're also going to put them into the trash can afterwards.
Well,
and
more
there's
so
no reason to it.
More so than that, I mean, you come into this seeing the Gearbox tag on it and thinking, this might have a chance. I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to take the plunge, and I'm going to see what...
I'm going to go in with no rubber and see what happens.
Yeah, and the problem is out came a mutated child.
Halfway through, you really wish you would have put that condom on, but it's too late now, so...
It's too late. I dropped $50. Thank God I didn't drop 65.
Yeah. She says, come inside me. You're like, no. And she's like, I'm on the pill. You're like, no. No, it's fine.
Yeah.
Don't want to risk it. So...
So, that being said, I came into this game with really mixed hopes. And I'd watched a good portion of that two-hour review, our prequel.
Yeah,
thing,
that
thinking
thing I had, yeah, yeah.
That IGN put up thinking, this might be all right.
Yeah.
And, boy, was I wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about this game is it doesn't look that bad on PC. It doesn't have some of those crazy glitches that you see on the Xbox.
No, the Xbox
version
is completely broke.
The console version in general
trashy.
Is fucked.
Yeah. Well, Xbox particularly, though, for some reason, is just really bad. So.
But, so, overall, I think the game itself, like, if I was gonna, I've played two and a half hours of game, including some multiplayer. And from what I can get, the controls aren't really that fucked up. It's just way too goddamn easy and arcadey.
Yeah.
It just feels like your basic, generic, run-of-the-mill shooter. And while I have a motion tracker that barely helps me sometimes, I always know that I'm going to get a beep that tells me check your motion tracker to see if the alien's approaching from, pull it up real quick, and then turn in that direction, and then just blow its brains out. Like, I never had a moment where I was freaked out. And that's the thing that... I'm a horror pussy, and I talked about this at length before, but... Like, I have a hard time playing Dead Space. I have a real hard time playing Amnesia.
Yeah.
There was not a moment of dread that I've experienced yet in this game. And I thought, maybe, like, there's a scene where I'm cutting a Marine free and an alien attacks. Well, I wasn't real good with the controls at first. Mm-hmm. And he would attack, and I'd kick the alien off, and then I'd shoot him with a pistol, and he'd run off, run in circles.
No, that's a lurker.
Yeah, it was a lurker.
Yeah.
But the lurker attacked me, dropped me 3 times, I knocked him off until I finally found him, and shot up in the back of the head with my shotgun.
Yeah.
And again, it was early into the game. I wasn't real familiar with the controls.
Yeah, that's like maybe 10, 15 minutes.
Right. Out, and I was thinking to myself, that wasn't really that intimidating.
No.
Like, it's a rabid dog, yeah, but, like, that's all it really is. I mean, it wasn't that big a deal. I was actively hunting the alien, and that's not something you ever really did in the movies. No. You never chased it fucking down, you know? You were...
And when they did, they usually got
usually
killed.
Died.
Yeah.
So, that kind of pissed me off. I was like, man, these aliens are really underpowered, and... Like, they come in really mindless hordes and sometimes get stuck on just, like, themselves
stuff,
are on shitty AI. And it's, there's a point where I was defending and I had these barricades up and they would get kind of caught up on the barricades and then change direction, go after a Marine, and then stop and turn and come after me. And I'm just like, it wasn't that big a deal to just wait till they got close, bop them in the nose, and then shoot them with my shotgun.
Yeah.
And that way I conserved ammo. And I didn't run into a spot where I really ran out of ammo. In fact, you have a pistol that has unlimited ammo.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a piss-off to me. I was like, there is no survival
also,
in this.
Also, on top of that, the weapon wheel, you're overpowered. You are completely overpowered in that the thing with aliens was, in aliens, there's a scene where they're doing their whole ammo count. It's like, you know, we got 50 rounds, we got a couple of these, you know, nothing really, you know, fancy. They were low on ammo. That was the whole point. The turrets even ran down to where one was empty, one had 4 shots left. They really had nothing left. And in this one, you're carrying about 19 fucking guns by the end.
You can carry like a shotgun and
no, you're
a rifle.
Carrying everything.
So you have all the guns?
Yeah,
you
have everything.
All the guns at
you
one
have,
time?
I went through and I've already beaten the game, and at the end, even before the end, I had like Hudson's pulse rifle, Hicks shotgun.
Did they not share ammo?
No, actually, they're individual. They have their own individual ammo counts. When I run out of pulse rifle regular ammo, I just switch over to Hudson's, and it was a much more powerful weapon, you know. But the shitty part is you have to hold Y down, and you have to push your left analog stick up, and it'll bring up the two options, and you push up, and it goes into the wide spectrum of what's on your first choice weapon, and you have to go over there, and then you have to let go of everything to select that weapon. Which sucks.
See, I was playing it with mouse and keyboard, so for me it was just either selecting your mouse.
Oh, yeah, no,
or
I went back and
user
forth.
Number keys.
Yeah, I went back and forth to try all the different ones, but by the end you have all the weapons.
Well, it wasn't that bad with mouse and keyboard, because I could just hit 5, or yeah. I remapped all those controls to my mouse buttons, so I got 12 extra ones.
Yeah.
So for me it was just find the number that I want, and then that was the gun I was using.
Yeah, but it was just crappy. There's no cycling either. You can't, even on a control, you can't cycle through all the weapons. You have to choose two of them for your basic, primary, and secondary, but at any time you can swap those out that you want. You can also customize your weapons on the fly, which is alright, but it just, you're over-dicked, really. Nothing's going to take you down. Doesn't matter what it is.
Well, and experiencing that balance in the multiplayer was kind of weird, because first off, I started off as a Marine.
Yeah.
And I tore ass through the aliens.
No, I played some multiplayer. You want to know what I did?
What?
I played survival. I just sat there. Didn't do shit. Laid a turret down, sat behind it, and survived for the entire 5 fucking minutes. Didn't die. Nobody even touched me. I was like, this is pointless. There's nothing to do. Then it was my turn as an alien. Killed every motherfucker in there. I hid up in doorways where I knew their objectives, where they had to go to, and just started to come through and tail stab. It wasn't really a challenge.
Well, I had no problem as a Marine. I could take on anything, and then when I ran out of ammo, just headshot with a pistol, and I had no problem. But as an alien, I had a little bit of difficulty because I was on a pretty open map the first 2 times that I played it.
Yeah.
And on the open maps, I didn't really have a lot of places to hide.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really just kind of waiting for Marines to stumble by, but they're always in a group, so they'd stumble by, and I take one down, and the other 3 would gun me down, you know? So that was kind of not fun, but...
Well, that's kind of what you're supposed to do, because, I mean, you get 4 aliens, you do the group and come in, so...
But that being said, I mean, it feels like there was no actual, objective to the whole game.
Campaign?
Yeah, I mean, it's like when you play these games, like you're playing Dead Space, you kind of have, like, a mission of sorts, or if you're playing Dante's Inferno, you have like an objective of sorts, and it feels like the story's always changing. I never gave a shit about it, never gave a shit about the characters, still don't give a shit about it, and that kind of killing it for me. I think I would like this a lot more if they made this whole ship kind of an open environment, and then it had me running around doing things in this open environment instead of just leading me through by the nose.
So I really wish that they would have done... The Sulaco is a big ship, and having new areas that they really didn't show in the movies, because, I mean, they got the guy who designed the goddamn ship to begin with to come in to help fill in the gaps. They could have done a lot more, and they could have made multiple decks, stuff like that, had side missions, side objectives, optional stuff you could do that would have expanded it quite a bit more, kind of like how they did in Dead Space 3, where there are side missions in there now that you can do that you don't have to do. But they help expand the story a bit more.
So, just with the way modern shooters are nowadays and modern games are nowadays, if you're going to have a squad, you need to have good squad AI.
Yeah.
Squad AI in this game sucks really, really fucking bad.
Yeah.
They get caught up on each other. They don't shoot the right things. There's been parts where I made transitions. They didn't follow me.
Yeah.
I had to reload to get it to work.
What was weird was just the actual storytelling. I mean, there'd be times where something happens in the game and then it cuts straight to a cinematic and that's not what's going on. Or it would cut to a different scene and you're somewhere else completely. You're just like, what the fuck? It's really patchy and really thrown together.
Really what it feels like. It feels like they didn't know what they're going to do with this story and then they just kind of threw it together.
Yeah. And it feels like there's a lot missing from it. It's really light. Like there were elements that were taken out. There were parts that were taken out. And they just basically did a beeline straight through the plant and through the main core of the story that they had come up with, which unfortunately is very subpar. and extremely offensive to anybody that is an Aliens fan, especially Aliens. Yeah, because the storyline revolves largely around that particular story. So,
like, they really could have done things like with the survivalism element of it and had you hold out on a door, kind of like you did in Aliens 2, like in the movie, you know?
Yeah.
With your guns, like with your auto gun.
You're just waiting, and it's like, 12 meters, that's impossible. That means they're inside the room. Yeah. So, stuff like that.
Like, they could have had the horde kind of come out like that and done it that way.
Yeah.
But it didn't work that way. It's just...
Even when you did have... You haven't gotten there, but even when you have parts where there is kind of a horde, it's piss poor. It's really
They don't really work together to take you down. It's just they kind of come at you and you just shoot them.
Well, it's like in the original demo, they had the part where you picked up the turret gun and you had to go downstairs and lay it down, and there was this long corridor where aliens were just coming at it.
Yeah.
In the actual released version, you go down there with the turret gun, and there's a door there that's sealed. There's no aliens whatsoever, and they're like, they're coming. It's like, there's nothing there. They're coming from upstairs in little tiny waves, nothing really major. And I went out there and just stood in the middle of this room and was just like standing on a table watching these aliens come. They just run right by me and go straight for anything that was on the floor. They weren't really fucking with me, so I just kept shooting them. It wasn't a challenge. You know, the AI is extremely fucking stupid. So, on both sides of the fence, actually.
And really, like them or hate them, there's an actual decent article on Kotaku where they put up a story that has a comparison video showing the difference between the demo version that we were all seeing last year versus this one, and showing the dynamic lighting and everything else.
And the demo version they were showing was Gearbox's demo they had produced for that first level of the game.
Looked pretty decent.
It looked amazing. It looked great. It had dynamic lighting, dynamic rain, it had great high-res textures, had a lot more visual stuff going on. Fire looked good. Explosions looked good. The whole umbilical scene
is completely different. It looks very first-gen Xbox 360 right now with the way that everything is.
Yeah,
but even with high-res textures, the lighting's so stale that it doesn't feel like... There's no, like, ambient occlusion going on.
Did you watch the comparison of the umbilical scene? Where one's all brightly lit and looks horrible. The other one, it's actually really dark in the umbilical. And they have that nice light coming in. And just when that dude flies up and hits the glass, it all cracks and stuff. And they didn't have that. They had the guy hit the glass, but there was no crack. And they just completely fucked it.
There's a couple of parts where glass explodes.
No, I'm talking about where the guy hits it.
I think it still cracks.
No, it doesn't. Compared to the original and the new one, that was one of the big things they were pointing out, is the guy hits it, it cracks in the original. And this one, they just didn't add the crack in. And I was like, that's really fucking weird. So...
It feels really rushed. I mean, that's really the long short of it. I mean, based on what I've played so far, it's a very, almost below average game. I think things they got right. Sound effects are kick-ass.
Yeah, they got all those from Fox.
Right. They are the exact sound effects from the movies.
Yeah. Pulse rifle. It's funny, as I see people bitching about the pulse rifle, they're like, the guns sound annoying.
And you're like, that's exactly how they sound in the movie.
And these people who are just like, did you even watch the movies? Like, I haven't watched them. I don't like those types of... Then why the fuck are you playing the game?
Well, and I want to sound as somebody who's upset about it, because, granted, standing on the shoulders of aliens in general, that's a hard... Those are some really big shoes to fill. They've
been fucking that up since, you know, late 90s.
So. But over the last several years, it doesn't seem like anybody can ever get this right, you know?
Well, there's been 25 Aliens games since 1983. And that's back when we had the Commodore and Spectrum computer. Actually, and
the Atari.
Used to
play G.I. Joe on the Commodore.
The Atari 2600 actually had Alien, the game, which was like variations of other games like Pac-Man. There's one where you're running around in a Pac-Man type maze with aliens walking around and you're grabbing stuff.
You know what we need to find is, I want to see if that arcade version that was on, it was on the arcade.
Infestation?
Or one that was a side-scroller? Infestation.
Oh, no, that was, I remember that was like Aliens 3. It was a side-scroller one they put out for arcade. And then
later on Genesis, wasn't it?
Yeah, they had it on... Alien 3 came out on, like, Game Boy, Game Gear, Master System, Mega Drive, Sega. Yeah, it came out on, like, all those. Because it was a huge commercial title. And each one looked a little bit different than the last. Like, the one on, I think, Master, no, I think the one on Mega Drive, it was really tall, a little bit more animated Ripley. Yeah. And other ones, she was very squishy, almost kind of like, you know, well, the shitty Mario. So, and that just had to do with the systems, you know. So, but that's
that back was when a, that games. Was the last that one in that AVP mm-hmm. that Aliens game came out that you were the alien when you started off.
That was the one
that was on.
Well, that was AVP 2012 or whatever it was, and I actually don't mind that game. It's just the campaigns were really short. And
no, not the one that came out recently. The one that came out, the one that I borrowed from you that never gave back.
Oh, that's AVP 2000. That's the original AVP.
That game was fairly fun.
That one was fun because the multiplayer was just badass. It was very fast-paced, and that's the reason why most people played it was for the multiplayer. The stories really didn't matter. The new one, it's not bad. It's got that design and look that really fits with Aliens. Just the lighting was really off because things were a little bit too bright, so you'd actually have to turn your contrast down below what you normally would, and you'd have to trust that other people would too just to get the atmosphere. But visually it looked good. It was actually a really good looking game. The campaigns were just way too short, and it was a huge, it's like a 30 gig fucking game to install on PC. It's huge. It's pretty big.
So that being said, I mean, I'm disappointed overall. It just ended up being a really generic shooter that got the sounds right.
Yeah.
And the feel of the guns, they felt a little overpowered. I mean, it looked, you know, when you watch the movies, I mean, he's like entering like a whole magazine on an alien.
Into one of them, yeah. 40 rounds right into an alien. And
like
even
right
then,
into his face, you know.
And even then, the alien usually ends up burning the shit out of you. But my thing is, I trust Gearbox. I'm not a fanboy at Gearbox. I actually was not as big a fan of Borderlands 2 as everybody else was. I haven't even picked it back up because it was just very samey for me. It was the same as Borderlands 1. I enjoyed it, but it's not like, it wasn't as epic to me as Borderlands 1 was. So I'm not a fanboy of that, but I trust that if they were allowed to do Aliens and they had the time to do Aliens from start to finish, nobody else, just them, no Sega breathing down their neck on deadlines, no Fox getting their fucking fingers into meddling around, because I do blame some of this on Fox, then they probably could have produced a game that was actually pretty badass, because that original demo stuff was them, and then they outsourced it over to TimeGate to finish it, because they're like, hey, we did all this stuff, we've done all the concept art, we've got all these elements, we've got the whole demo level stuff, take this, here's the story, expand, create it, get it done, bring it back to us, and we'll go from there. TimeGate took it and they threw everything away. They said, well, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it our way. I think TimeGate.
So instead of doing it as a generic shooter, I think when, if this ever becomes a franchise that's worth a damn for gaming, I think they need to do it survival horror style.
Yeah,
I think
they need to do it limited ammo. They could even do it to where you're a colonist who survives an infestation and you're going up against one alien that's just scouting and surviving, that's killing, just like it was in the movie Alien. It's just one, and that would actually be enough to kind of freak you the fuck out. So, or you could even do it to where it is a queen, you are a colonist, and there are more aliens.
You're overrun and you're focused on just getting from point A to point B, surviving.
Kind of like Newt's story, you know, kind of like she was the only survivor, you know, and she lasted.
Give you so much ammo and you got to sneak past all these aliens.
But you got to scrounge as much as you can, yeah, and survive. You
almost go RPG style.
Yeah, almost RPG in a way, but I wouldn't go that far. But yeah, but if Gearbox had the luxury, because they've been working on this game for 6 years, TimeGate, I feel, just wanted to make a bigger name for themselves, so they thought, well, if we do this and we do all of it, it'll look better, it'll be ours, and stuff like that. And the thing is, I've played their other games, and they fucking suck.
The biggest claim to fame aside from this is Section 8, and look
that,
how that turned out.
That game was fucking wretched. Worst story, and actually, the story for Aliens is about on par with Section 8. It fucking blew ass. And ultimately, what happened was, is when Gearbox got the game back from TimeGate, they were like, well, we don't want it. We don't want to touch it, but Sega's coming down our ass because they have a contract with us and we haven't fulfilled it yet, and if we ask for an extension, this is the rumors that are going around from within Gearbox as well as from ex-employees, that from an ex-employee, Sega was coming down them for time frame, and if they would have asked for another extension to try and fix what TimeGate did, they probably would have had a lawsuit on their hands, so they just had to polish it, crash it through certifications, and get it out there. And from the demo, there was a lot more in there that was not in the final version. Like, even in the umbilical scene, you could dodge stuff and move around. That was not in the final product. You were pretty much just... It's just cinematic.
Like when you weld doors, and I mean, it's just like, for me, it's hit E to weld door, or hit E to cut open door.
Yeah, they couldn't have made a minigame out of it. They could have made it more difficult where you could fuck up, you know.
They could have had me doing it during, like, a fucking rush from a fucking...
Exactly, yeah. Give you somewhere you could fuck up. It's all on you to get this done while people are covering your ass. Make that co-op more important to have teamwork. You weld, we do this. You unweld, we do this. And they really didn't have any of that. Like I said, there were things that felt like they were missing that were supposed to be there. Because there's a lot of cinematic stuff where you get to do something, just takes it over. And later on, the NPCs start doing it for you. They show two NPCs with you, and they're the ones bypassing the door or welding it or unwelding. Just, you know.
Well, half the time, even in the part that I'm in, they're getting way the fuck ahead of me while I'm doing stuff.
Yeah, and then you don't know where they went.
I know. I'm just, like, searching around. It's like, well...
Yeah. This game had really bad direction with... the user interaction telling you where you need to go, what you need to do, do this, follow this. You know, usually, like, Borderlands gives you nice waypoints. And it actually shows up on your screen, not on your tracker. You know, in this game, everything shows up on your fucking tracker, but then pops up on your screen if you had that fucking tracker pulled up, which sucks. They could have just done a lot more with it. But like I said, you know, Fox has been trying to resurrect this series for quite a while. Years ago, they announced they're going to do 3 new movies. They're going to do a prequel, followed by... another movie with Sigourney Weaver where she's going to pass it on to somebody else. Yeah, and then they were going to finally do a 6th one, which was just that person who's supposed to take it over from Weaver. And obviously they want to resurrect the gaming franchise because they've always made money off of it, even when it sucked. But it feels like they're trying way too hard because when you finish this game and you see what they did to the story, they bastardized it so bad and they did something that is unforgivable in my opinion. By bringing a character in that they're going to have, from what you get the feel of, is that that's the person they want to have continue the franchise in game that takes place between LV and Fury when Ripley's out of the picture. And I'm like, if they go that direction, which they left it open, they had the audacity to fucking make it an open-ended game. If they do that, I'm going to be really pissed off. Because I'm already pissed. You know, whoever wrote it needs to...
Well, it's just, at this point, I feel like they're just raking the pockets of fanboys.
Mm-hmm. Without giving them anything worth a damn.
No reach around whatsoever.
No finish.
So...
No finish.
I'm a little pissed. I'm actually going to backburner this since you've already played it.
Yeah.
And play something else. I might go back to playing Skyrim.
Yeah, I enjoyed playing... I'm not going to trash it because I actually enjoyed playing it just because it's Aliens and I was going through and I was having fun. And people have bitched about a lot of things and some of it has been really unfair, saying you spend more time shooting humans than you do aliens. That's actually bullshit because you're always fighting aliens. There's some people who pop up here and there in the storyline and it's maybe 3-4 times throughout the game that you really have to fuck with them in certain chapters.
Yeah, but it's a really bad design choice to even bring them in as a enemy.
And well, bringing him in as an enemy is a huge fuck up in the story anyways because they really shouldn't have done it, you know? There was one of the big things about Aliens was that there was that snake in the grass, you know, which was Paul Reiser's character. There's that snake in the grass who's there with the group, who has his, you know, his motives, that his agenda is he knows it's there. He's bringing everybody out there. The plan is to, in the end, impregnate Newt and
Ripley.
Yeah, sorry, I was looking at the monitor. Sorry, Newt and Ripley. And smuggle them back in, eject all the Marines into space, say they died on planet or whatever happened, so they get their weapon. And there was no snake in the grass, really. It didn't really feel that way. They tried to kind of bring that, and that, you know, people might know more than they're telling you, but hey, that's what it is to be a fucking grunt. You're not going to know all the full details. But they didn't really give that, you know, that Brutus stab in the back that you get in Alien movies, so... But anyways, that's pretty much
all we have on that.
Yeah, play it. I mean, hey, I see people like on the Aliens. Yeah, I'm on the Facebook thing, and there's people going like, "I love the game. It's great." I'm not going to say they're brainless. You know, they enjoy what they enjoy. You know, so
but to be fair, I mean, play the game. You beat the game. What would you give it at this point?
If I'm judging on gameplay, 3 or 4, yeah, about 3. If I'm judging on story, 1. You know, I'm very critical. If you're going to
combine all together, though, I mean...
Three?
Three's being nice.
Three is being nice. I'm not trying to be too judgmental, and I love Aliens, but what they did to that story is unforgivable. I mean, they fucked it up. And this is supposed to be a canonical game, which really makes me even more mad about it, that this is supposed to be legend now. This is supposed to be history in the Aliens franchise.
So if we were to give it a Metacritic score at this point, it's a 60% for you.
Probably, maybe. Maybe less than that, I don't know. Let's see what they do. Let's see if they did a massive patch the first day it came out, even on PC. Let's see if they fix the AI. If they fix the AI, then survivor mode and escape mode, you know, some of the, if they bring in their horde mode.
There's something else, though. I mean, it's just like, it feels so damn arcadey where
yeah.
everything has a like a holographic representation over all the armor. I mean, there's sections where you find, like, three pieces of armor to add to your armor, like, at a time. And, like, you'll see the holographic representation of, like, a gun.
Yeah.
And you look at the Gearbox demo, and it just had a table of weapons.
Oh, yeah, it was a huge... It was actually in-game weapons, kind of like how Left 4 Dead does it, or Borderlands. And it was a huge table, and you're just like, holy fuck, that's a lot of shit. And in this one, there's just little holograms pop up, and it's old school. It's so old school. And it's like, whoever made this just... does not play modern shooters, or they just can't compute how to do it right. And that's not Gearbox. Gearbox knows how to make a fucking modern day shooter and make it work right. They did it with even if they reskinned fucking Borderlands and just put aliens in it, that would have been better than this. That would have been fine, but cel-shaded aliens, I don't give a shit. Looks good. You know? They know what they're doing, especially with guns and weapon modifications. None of that was in there. And they talked about having that in there where you could do weapon mods and customization. It just felt
well, you got a little really bit of customization to go for, like, flechette rounds to
this much. It was so little compared to what they originally were talking about doing, and it feels like TimeGate was like, well, we can do that too, and decided just to scrap everything they had in mind, do their own thing. Outsourcing it was a bad idea, but I know they wanted to work on Borderlands, and that's a huge project for them. They need to get everybody in on it.
Well, that's universally acclaimed as a pretty decent game.
Oh, yeah, and it is a good game. It's just it didn't have me enticed as much as the first one, but they kept a little group of devs that they had assigned to the Aliens multiplayer. And the multiplayer, like I said, if they fix the AI, and they've talked about bringing in a horde mode later on, if they did that, where it's just a straight-out holdout level, where it's you and three other people just blasting as long as you can against ceaseless waves of fucking Xenomorph.
I might play that.
That's worth my $30 right there, because I would play the shit out of that. They amped up the amount of aliens, made them more smart, made them more tactical and strategic. That's the whole thing. The aliens aren't stupid. They're very fucking smart. They're all about tactic and strategy, like raptors. You know, they can open doors. These can cut power. You know, that's... Yeah, Aliens reference. How can they cut the power? They're just animals. Anyway, they're tactical, and they're not in this game. They're very stupid. I mean, the old...
run headlong into you, let's shoot them.
The old arcade first-person shooter where it was all scripted was more tactical than this, to be honest with you. I don't care what they have to do. They have to go in and create 75 different possible strategy scenarios for each individual. I'm fine. I don't give a shit. They better fix it, though. They need to. Otherwise, Gearbox is going to lose a lot of fans. Because even though it might be TimeGate's fault, Gearbox's name...
They stamped
their name on it and pushed it through. And they were expecting the bad press. They knew it was going to happen. I would have been happy to wait another year and a half, 2 years, for them just to polish what TimeGate did and actually make it better. But Sega didn't want that after 6 years, so...
I'm going to take a quick break. We'll come back, go through a little bit of news, and knock this sucker out.
That's what we will do. And we'll see you guys here in a little bit. Shortest one in history.
Fuck yeah.
Yep. And we were looking over some stuff. We're going to go ahead and jump into emails and Facebook. What you got for us over there, J-Bro?
J-Bro?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to jump into emails first.
All right.
And I'm going to pull this around so I can read it and talk into the microphone. All right. Only got one email. But it's from our friend.
Mr. Cost.
Mr. Cost. Cost. So he says to the Nasty One, the Trent Show, and the Holly Badger. That isn't here.
He's always off by one.
I know. He's usually off by one. So we asked in our question last week, who should play the Freeman?
Mr. Gordon Freeman from the Half-Life series.
Right. And he says only one man can play as Gordon Freeman, Bryan Cranston. Props to you. He's got the acting chops and the look. I agree. Now maybe the Tiltcast can help me with a debate I've had on Live with a Friend from high school. I don't know when it's going to happen, but with the way Hollywood remakes films, at some point, we're going to see Ghostbusters rebooted.
They've already been talking about that. Okay, I'll wait until he's
ready. Let me finish reading the question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Said, this is, without a shadow of doubt, my favorite movie franchise, and I don't want to see it fall to crap. So, here's my roster for reboot. Says, Egon, Christopher Waltz. He'll be funny, timely, and will still seem like the smartest person in the room.
Who is that?
Christopher Waltz.
Is that the guy that... I don't know.
You're going to have to look him up.
All right, I'll take a look. Because I already have one that would just be funny to have on there, but I don't know.
I got to know who Christopher Waltz is.
Yeah. Oh, that guy. That doesn't really work for me. Sorry.
Okay. What's he been in?
Christopher Waltz, God.
He looks kind of familiar.
He's played bad guys and good guys. He was in Inglourious Basterds. He played the main Nazi dude.
Oh.
He's in Django. He plays.
Was he the guy? He speaks German, right?
Yeah.
That guy's an amazing
actor.
The
Green Hornets, Three Musketeers. He's a good actor, but I just don't see him as a. He's a very short guy, and Harold Ramis is very
tall.
Yeah. That's the whole point. He was a gangly nerd. For me, I would not actually cast him, but I would love to see him in the Ghostbusters outfit trying to do Egon. Would be Dwight from The Office.
Fair enough.
Because he's tall, he's nerdy, pudgy, and he just has that really dry fucking thing going on.
We'll get through the rest of the list here. We got Ray. Says Bill Hader. You can be serious or funny kind, like a young Aykroyd.
He's not fat enough. Go with Jonah Hill.
You think Jonah Hill could do Ray?
No, but I don't think anybody can do Dan Aykroyd justice. So
Jonah's not nearly old enough.
Well, no, but I'm just saying nobody could actually do it. That's the thing. They're not going to reboot. I'll wait until you tell me before I go to that.
Says Venkman. He says Jason Segel. Or Segel?
Jason Segel.
Had a hard time coming up with someone who is as likable as like Murray and funny. Be excited about him playing this part when they reboot the franchise.
He's talking about this guy right here. The one
kind of looks like him.
He was in,
I know him. He's pretty funny.
Silverman, yeah. He's alright.
Winston, he says, I'm a big fan of Jay Farrell from SNL and I'd like to see him in films.
Why not bring a bad... You know, Winston deserves to finally get a little bit of badassery.
Yeah.
Bing Rhames. He's in everything. Make him
the big...
buffest Ghostbuster to ever be. Because Winston was actually the only one that was in shape.
Who's the Old Spice dude?
What's his name? Fuck.
That guy would be awesome.
Yeah, I always forget his name.
He's got such a personality.
Terry Crews.
Terry Crews is fucking amazing.
I like him and the screaming goat. So that's the one thing that the Old Spice did right was they decided to go the way of Power Thirst with their commercials, which actually worked pretty well.
It says Janine. He says Marisa Tomei.
Marisa Tomei. Is he in the right decade?
I'm not sure. She can do New York accent, and I could see her pining over Waltz a la Janine and Egon.
Now, they'll want to go with an all-star cast to really draw some people in, or unknowns. If they went with a little bit more well-knowns, they would go with something like Zooey Deschanel. She's got that nerdy kind of element to
well,
her.
Well, he's got one good one that I think maybe he should swap out. It says, love interest. Because you know Hollywood is going to put one in there, how about Allison Hannigan?
Allison Hannigan? Yeah, that works for me. Actually, Allison Hannigan would do a good job as Janine.
She's nerdy enough.
Yeah, she's nerdy. But the more important one is who would play Rick Moranis?
Who would do
his character? You gotta get a major dork, or at least somebody can play one. Like maybe the guy from Scott Pilgrim.
Which guy?
The guy from Scott Pilgrim. Scott Pilgrim. The guy who played him.
I'm horrible with names.
Seer. Something's here. I can't remember his name.
Michael Cera.
Michael Cera, yeah. He could play Rick Moranis' character very easily. Yeah.
He's got to grow up a little bit.
A little... Well, do you remember how old Rick Moranis was when he did that fucking role? I know, but he still
looks kind of like an adult.
Yeah, and Flanagan looks like a fucking baby as well, so it kind of fits, so...
He says, Louis Tully, he says, how about Thomas Lennon?
Well, that's who I'm talking about. Yeah.
All right, so as far as plot, I was always a big fan of the cartoon, so how about the Boogeyman? That was their biggest rival during that series, so it seems like it fits. Any thoughts?
Okay, first off, Ian, I'm a huge Ghostbusters fan, and Justin's actually a pretty big fan as well. Harold Ramis and Dan Aykroyd have always been the writers for Ghostbusters. They're the ones who came up with the original idea. Then they've pushed it since the very beginning. Anything that really had to do with Ghostbusters, they had a lot to do with, including the Ghostbusters video game that came out for Xbox 360 and PlayStation and all that, which was a great game. It was fantastic. And you got to do everything. The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, they had the hotel. I forgot which hotel. You get to go back and trash the shit out of that place. But it was funny as shit. And it was written by them. They've talked about... There was a game that came out called... What was it? It was called Ghostbusters, something of the slime.
Yeah, Sanctum of Slime or something like that.
Yeah, Sanctum of Slime, and it was an overhead.
It wasn't that great.
Yeah, it was not a very fun game, but it had a new cast in it, as well as.
I kind of like what they did with the one right before that, and calling the Rookie You, basically.
Yeah, and that's the one we're talking about, the video game. Yeah, it was Ghostbusters, the video game. That's one Harold Ramis and Dan Aykroyd wrote. Sanctum of Slime, that one, the whole cast was newbies. They were all new recruits into the Ghostbusters, and it was Egon, I think, was the one giving out the orders to and telling them where to go, do this, check this out. And that was actually trying to lead up to see how well it went over, if I recall, to see what they could do with it with a new cast. And it really didn't go over too well because they chose the wrong type of game to follow up Ghostbusters, the video game, which was a massive... Awesome, awesome game. Ultimately, though, they've talked about doing Ghostbusters 3 for a really long time. I think it was... A lot of them had signed back on saying, yeah, we want to do it. Like Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis. They all said, yeah, let's jump in there and get it done. But I think it was actually Rick Moranis was the one... Yeah, he said that he didn't want
to
do it.
Yeah, he didn't need to.
Yeah, he said, I don't need the money. Because, which is actually true, that guy made fuck tons of cash off of the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids series. It's ridiculous the amount of residuals he got from those. But it doesn't matter. The money's not the issue. It's a fucking institution. It's Ghostbusters. You know? Ghostbusters is a shit. That was like the best of the 80s right there. But because of that, I don't see them... rebooting the series with a whole new cast, especially since the people who write the stories and who I think actually, I don't know if they own it, but like fully own it, but I know that they do, they're basically the go-to people to do it. And the reason why is because Dan Aykroyd is really into occultism and ghosts and paranormal stuff, and Harold Ramis just finds it humorous, so the two of them, that's why they sat down and wrote Ghostbusters. And it's all based on stuff that Dan Aykroyd's really into, from a comedic point of view. But I could see them carrying the torch over, where they're retiring, they're bringing in new people to train, and trying to push them forward. If they could ever get Rick Moranis to get the fuck off of his ass, they could easily have him actually in as a full-fledged Ghostbuster, since in the end of the last movie, he thought he kicked Major ass.
Right.
Even though he didn't do shit. By the way, he donned the attire and the positron glider went out there. By the way, they could have him be a bigger part in the Ghostbusters and with training. Maybe Venkman's retired, since he never really took it serious until somebody he cared about got in trouble. And that's why I would see them doing. If they rebooted the whole series, I think it would really piss a lot of people off, because they just don't need to. So.
Well... I don't know. In my idea, I just leave it as is. Hopefully mm-hmm. come up with something again that's just as good.
I'd say continue the series. Don't reboot it. Bring in Harold Ramis and Dan Aykroyd and everybody and just let them pass the torch themselves in one last movie where they're saving New York's ass one more time. So that would be the way I would go.
So, in response to the question, we had a couple of responses. I actually posted this during our episode last night.
And which was this question?
The question was, who should play Gordon Freeman in the possible upcoming Half-Life movie?
Alzheimer's, sorry.
Bryan Cranston, according to Chuck from Elseworlds.
Chuck.
And then Travis also says, scroll up. So honestly, I don't think Gordon Freeman should be the main character in the Half-Life movie. It should be a movie set in the Half-Life universe. The moment he opens his mouth and speaks, all his badassness is lost.
Mm-hmm.
I can kind of see that.
You can make him a mute.
Or, kind of like what he's saying, or exactly like he's saying, just make it based in the Half-Life universe, like, do the Barney thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we see...
Well, I joked around that about that a little bit last week.
Yeah, using somebody kind of like Barney to get an outside perspective
like
of what's
Blue
going on.
Shift.
Hey, I played Blue Shift.
No, I love Blue Shift. It was awesome. It was a great, you know...
it was a good idea for a spinoff.
Perspective switch, yeah.
So, worse than that, I got a little bit of news. And we'll propose the question here again in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, Valve had laid off some people.
Yeah.
As many as 25 people have been laid off. Doing a little bit more digging, it looks like they laid off people from its hardware and Android divisions. Gabe Newell from Valve made a statement about it to Engadget, saying not canceling any ongoing projects or changing his priorities. So basically said also that he didn't really want to comment on it. It's because there's some speculation. But he says basically said it's nobody's fucking business.
Yeah.
And his official statement is, we usually don't talk about personal matters for a number of reasons, or personnel matters for a number of reasons. There seems to be an unusual amount of speculation about some recent changes here, so I take the unusual step of addressing them. We're not canceling any projects. We aren't changing any priorities or projects we've been discussing. It's not about Steam or Linux or hardware or any other game. We're not going to discuss anyone in particular is or isn't working on here. Again, their guarded response as usual.
Yeah.
We do things on Valve time. Fuck off.
So it's one of those things where I respect Valve for their secrecy on a lot of things, because when they come up with an idea, they hit you really hard with it because you didn't expect it. You didn't see it coming. But at the same time, it really infuriates me because they really haven't talked too much about games. They did Portal 2.
Right.
They put that out. You got Counter-Strike, Global Offensive.
Yeah, which is decent. It's just a multiplayer romp.
But it's one of those things where it's not one of their... I mean, that Counter-Strike's one of their main staple games they did, but it's not one of their really big limelight games. Like, it's about time Left 4 Dead 3...
Honestly, there have been more people who play Counter-Strike than, like, almost any other game in the entire world.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying that it's not one of their big marketing pushes.
It's not
that they
an epic
out there.
Game.
Yeah.
Counter-Strike is one of those games you pick up and you play for... It's like...
I own it.
People are
going to
hate me for saying
this.
Counter-Strike is Valve's Angry Birds.
Yeah.
It is your pick-up and play for a little bit and put-down game. It's not a game... There are some people that are really hardcore about it,
mm-hmm.
but it is their game that it's very arcadey.
Yeah.
It's not the reason I look forward to Valve games. Counter-Strike's fun. I actually... Don't ban me for saying this, Valve, but I loaned my account to a good friend of mine and my old roommate, Mike, in that old house I lived in behind the Magic Shop.
Yeah.
We had that big fucking rat.
Mm-hmm.
I let him play on my account, and he'd play hours and hours and hours of Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I ever played on it, while I was playing WoW.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, that has some chops, but, like, I'm looking for another Half-Life or another Portal or something new altogether that ties into that universe.
Portal, I'm pretty happy with Portal 2 where it is. I say give them time to come up with Portal 3, you know, but Half-Life 3, sorry, I mean, Half-Life 3 and Left 4 Dead 3, it's about time. The last Left 4 Dead came out back in, what was it, 2010?
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while, and they talked
about it. The
last
Left 4 Dead came out when we first started this cast.
Yeah, and they've talked about it, but there's nothing, and that's one of those games that said it's, that we like making Left 4 Dead because it's so easy, because all we do is we build the maps and we just play spawn points, that's it. It's there's no story, no nothing. Of course, Valve being the way they are, they couldn't help but put a little bit of story in near the end with part two.
Right.
And they brought some stuff in with the DLCs to add story, which I was fine with because it was always just sparse enough to get you through and enough to keep you hooked. And if they're doing a full-out story kind of Left 4 Dead, I'm like, that might be interesting. I kind of liked it to where I had all these different options between maps and everything. But Left 4 Dead 3 is way overdue. Half-Life 3 is beyond... They pretty much... The search parties are done. You know, they're not looking anymore. But it's about time they said something, because they brought up the whole we may or may not be working on an episodic installation called Half-Life 3. When I say may or may not, I mean we are. And that was kind of the last thing we heard. So, I'd like to hear more. I'd like to know if Gordon got his brain sucked out.
Well,
so... That was Gearbox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, one of those other things that I wanted to throw out there is, a lot of people know that have been listening to the show for a while, Shadow of the Colossus is one of my all-time favorite games.
Oh, yeah.
That game is fucking epic. I actually spent the money to buy that. Yeah. And the game that came before it, fucking... God, what the hell is that called? Eco.
Yes, Eco.
Not Echo, Eco.
Yeah.
So, the director of that, Fumito Ueda, has been talking about The Last Guardian now since 2009.
Good stumble.
Huh?
Good stumble through that name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fumito Ueda.
Yeah.
So, long story short, he has written on his website recently
his
that...
His rubs?
I'm tired.
He's written on his rubs.
Said to keep an eye out for new information, so...
Oh, so they're going to do a follow-up to Shadow?
Oh, yeah. Well, Last Guardian's been a
follow-up. Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah, they had the Last Guardian. Yeah, I forgot the boy with the...
The feather dog.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Jeez, I never played it, so... Did it even come out yet?
No, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, okay, sorry. Okay.
Speaking of spacing out.
Yeah, sorry. Well, that was one of those games I watched a bunch of shit for. It's like, that looks awesome! What's this? And just fucking...
Well, there's a media
off.
Event that I didn't know if you were going to talk about or not.
Yeah.
They're talking about giving some information out about the PS4.
Yeah.
Supposedly, they may leak some details about Last Guardian during that as well.
Well... PlayStation has their big announcement actually coming up real soon, I think on the 20th.
Right, that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
During that event, they're talking about maybe it's rumored that they're going to release some more information on The Last Guardian.
Yeah.
Basically, over the last several years, they basically say it's been a slow progress, but they're going to release it when it's absolutely ready.
Which means it'll be next gen.
Which also means that Sony just said, hey, do what you need to do, make this cool, go for it. Which I'm all right with.
I wonder if they're going to aim for that to be a title launch game.
I'd be all right with it.
Yeah, I could
mean,
see them doing that.
Shadow of the Colossus still almost is close to current gen.
Well, hold on. There's... what the fuck is the name of that game that they're supposed to fucking release on launch for Xbox? I can't remember the fucking name of it. Huh?
Give me a hint.
I can't remember the name of it. It's... there's really not a whole lot of details for it. I forgot the fucking name of it. It looks cool. Like all the imagery.
Launch for what?
For Xbox. There's a game that's set up for the they say this is going to be a launch title probably for Xbox 720, the Durango.
Whatever, Durango, whatever.
Yeah, because they've been waiting for this game for a long time. They keep putting it back and back and back. And so they're pretty sure, I forgot what it's fucking called though. It looks really good. It looks interesting in the way that Dishonored looked interesting. Very unique art style, very drab, dark, colorless, war kind of kind of thing. But it looked awesome. We'll find out more about that later on this year, actually, coming up real soon. So, but every console has... Where I'm going with this is... Guardian is part of a franchise, so I don't think... I mean, it's going to probably be a launch title, but most consoles like to carry one or two independent, like individual brand new titles to launch with. So I'm wondering what they're going to probably push with the PlayStation 4 other than Guardian. Like a new Little Big Planet.
I'm sure.
Yeah, but something else as well. When's The Last of Us supposed to come out?
That was delayed June 14th.
June 14th, and the details for the new system are coming out probably at the end of this month or sometime into...
Well, I think Last of Us will be the last this new
that'll
game.
Probably be one of the last of the bigger titles. Well, they still got the rest of the year, which I know once they launch the PlayStation 4, they say that they're most likely going to continue. So they are going to continue to release PlayStation 3 games. It's going to be PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4 versions of games. So for people who haven't upgraded yet, they can play certain titles. Kind of like how Shattered Memory Silent Hill was released on Wii, but it's also released on PlayStation 2, just to kind of get people in there. So, we'll see how it goes.
So, do you have any news?
Yeah, Destiny. which is Bungie's new title they've been working on with Blizzard, is going to be, let's see, on their Facebook group, which is just Destiny the Game, which has a very sparse logo, which I enjoy because it looks very
minimalist. It almost looks like a Valve logo.
It looks cool, yeah, I'm enjoying it. It does look like a spigot for a for a sprinkler. Anyway, they said T-minus 4 days until we can show you what Destiny is all about, and that was yesterday. So hopefully by this weekend we're going to find out some more information. Finally, maybe see some game assets for Destiny, some more information, and find out what Destiny really is all about and what we can expect to be coming out later on this year from them. So,
smaller news. There is
little bit of news.
Well, for once, Nintendo has DLC.
For what?
Super Luigi U expansion.
Actually, yeah, that was another Mario piece of news I had. Yeah, that's the year of Luigi.
Yeah, it's 80 plus courses for a new expansion for the new Super Mario Brothers U. Jump all right. It's supposedly it's going to be pretty large scale.
Yeah.
Almost like a full game, which is pretty cool, actually. I mean, Mario Brothers so far has been very Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
But it's Mario Brothers like Mario 3. Brothers. Yeah, like 3, and 3 is one of my favorite Marios of all time.
Everything looks good. Everything I've seen on the Wii U, it looks like they finally nailed down like a good chemistry for what they're trying to do. And they even made their staple games that most people just, like us, just kind of say, psh, whatever. They actually made them look like they're good. You're like, that's actually kind of interesting. Like, they have a new Mario game coming out. This is the year of Luigi. They're going to actually be doing... Luigi's going to finally get another side game of his own. Because he had Luigi's Mansion, and then he had another game before that that came out that was all about Luigi. But they're actually going to be doing another Soul Luigi game that they just actually announced, I think, yesterday. And the creator of Mario Brothers was there for it. And Mr. Ames was there. And they were talking about...
the guy's been doing video games for like 35 years.
Oh, God, yeah. He's a legend. But they talked about how they're going to be releasing a brand new Luigi game. They're actually going to do a really fucked up, weird Luigi game with Mario, where the preview for it they showed was Luigi with a star flying around him, pulling on his nose and his mustache. And it's supposed to be a psychological journey where, like, Mario is running around summoning, like... rainfall that looks like Luigi to come down. So it just looks really fucking weird. So
very Japanese in a cool way.
Yeah, we're gonna see some Silent Hill Mario Brothers.
I'd like to see a really out there, like
Rain of Brass Luigi's. Yeah. So.
So do you have any more news? I only got one more piece.
Other than that, actually I do. There was a marketing company who put out something that I think that you will find amazingly badass. And the people at home aren't going to be able to hear this, but I'm going to make you watch this because this is just fantastic. All right. Just check this out. This is for an arcade game, people. And we're going to...
Is this an arcade console?
No, this is an arcade game. Just check this out. For the people out there, I'm making them watch this video about an arcade game.
Here it
comes. I know, here it comes. Just, it's the tension. If you could hear the guy, he's talking in a very deep British voice. Then, beer. Check this out. The last bar fighter. Yeah. But check it out, check it out. You insert your cup in the bottom, both of you, and you fucking duke it out. Whoever wins gets beer dispensed to them.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And they fight it out. They just fight it out. I like the dapper guy with the... Yeah, he's pretty cool. Yeah, unicorn
Holy
attack.
Shit.
Yeah. To the victor goes the poor.
That's badass.
Yeah, the last bar. He's like yelling.
We're linking this.
Yeah.
You know what would be... I need to find out how much that is.
There's only one machine. It was a ploy that they... It was just a gimmick they made. Basically, I'll read through a little bit of this. Dave Roger, which is Big Boss Brewing Marketing and Distribution Manager, he wanted to make something that was unique and highlight all the different offerings of the brewery he had. He felt that the Last Bar Fighter is the latest tool in Big Boss Arsenal, which is the company that he's with. It's a beer dispensing video game with total retro fighting game appeal. There's only one machine at the moment, but Big Boss is planning on taking the idea to the beer festivals and bars, and is considering possible March Madness tie-in. So, I mean, these things could start showing up all over the place. The Max here in town could get one. I mean, it's a fucking arcade machine with a keg inside of it. How badass is that? I wish I would have thought of this.
It's a really good idea.
And look at it. It's fucking epic looking. It's got the fucking chick on one side holding her beer in the air with just bodies strewn below her, and then on the other side it's a dude with a chick hugging his leg, half naked. Yeah. And it dispenses most varieties. That's the cool thing. The Beercade automatically pours breweries' most popular varieties as price. So it's not just one type of beer. They'll pick, like, you know, one brewery with all different types, and they'll dispense out their most popular ones. Either you might get to be able to choose, I don't know, or it might be a luck of the draw as to which one you get. But pretty kick-ass. So
one real quick thing to
top that,
to kind of go back on, is we're talking Colonial Marines for a long time.
Yeah.
There is speculation that it's not coming out on the Wii U right now.
Actually, I heard that UK, the Wii UK, said that's not true. They said it is. There was speculation that it might be canceled due to bad sales, but they denied.
Well, Amazon doesn't have a listing for it.
That doesn't mean shit. Amazon fucks up all the time. Let's see.
Well, why don't we check it out right now?
Yeah, because what I saw was right before we went on the air. Let's see, we'll pull it up really quick. Let's see. Yeah, right here. This is from The Escapist, of course. It has not been canceled, according to him, and that was posted just a little bit ago. So,
okay.
And what he says about it, let's see here. They previously indicated that Aliens Clone Marines might be able to do some exciting things with both the graphics and the gameplay for the Wii. I think that, let me think here. It says here if the Wii U version plays more like the demo, then the finalized game release would still be well worthwhile. Yeah, I'll agree. If they delayed the Wii U release of the game to try and fix some stuff, which I know they won't do, but if they did, I would actually buy a Wii U just to play fucking Colonial Marines the way it's supposed to be. Like, even right here, this graphic looks way better than the actual game, because this looks like it's from the original demo stuff with the lighting and everything.
Yeah, but that's, again, we've been fooled by that.
Yeah.
I might rent it. If it comes across where I can rent it, I'll rent it and we'll see.
Yeah. Let's see here. Yeah, right here. And when Amazon's listings disappear in favor, according to Sega, the game is still very much in the works for Wii U. So I don't, they even brought up Amazon pulling off. Amazon does that sometimes. They'll, like, pull shit down. I don't know what their deal is. So, they could have actually, maybe maintenance, maybe something like that. Who knows? I don't pretend to know how Amazon works.
Well, one of the other things, I guess there was a tweet recently today that one of the BioWare devs is teasing the next single-player expansion for Mass Effect 3. Mm-hmm. Is saying, all hands on deck. They're saying that it's supposed to be released next week.
Yeah.
So they're going to pull out a new episode for Mass Effect 3, which might be kind of cool.
What's sad is the Mass Effect 2, I jumped on every DLC as soon as it came out. Mass Effect 3, I've actually decided to stand back and let them put some of them out.
Well, I don't like going back into the game to play a DLC and then jump back out.
Yeah.
So I'm going to probably wait for all the expansion packs to be released.
Exactly.
And then replay it.
That's why I want to do. I want them to kind of seamlessly fit in. Because when I went back after beating Mass Effect 2 and played the DLCs, it felt very disjointed to me. Right. But when I actually went back through to do my epic full-blown Paragon run, it was just seamless and was just awesome, because I got to pick and choose when I would start it, but I could really tailor make the story that way, and it really expanded everything. I mean, I forgot what her name is, but Lost Memory is a pretty decent length DLC, and it's probably one of the better ones in my opinion, just because it really kind of takes you away from the normal story where you're going into that dinner party.
Right.
You know, trying to hobnob and stuff. But it was very interesting, so.
So, last but not least, let's get into... You don't have any more news, do you?
No, but we do have our question for next week.
So I was going to say, so, Trent, explain the question a little bit.
All right. Our question for next week is, given the... I won't say failure. I'll say the train wreck that is currently Colonial Marines. We took a look at that and said, well, you know, that's a franchise that's had, like I said, over 25 fucking games come out for it, Alien. And here's just another one that tried to screw the pooch just a little bit more than it was ready to. But either way, what is what is a movie franchise that you feel deserves a game? It could be one that even already had a game made for it that just totally sucked and needs to be redone. So.
Justin, what do you think? No, you go first.
You know, I'm a really big fan of Philip K. Dick because he writes some great stories that kind of already have some very video game kind of character things that they've taken nowadays for video games. He reflects a lot of those as being one of the original sources. And Minority Report had a video game. Minority Report was a sequel to Total Recall, technically, but they didn't call it that. But Total Recall, that series, would be pretty badass to have a real, actual, modern-day RPG game built into it, where it's the whole memory loss, you know, the memory reallocation comes back, and you realize all this stuff, but is it reality, is it fake? The whole bunch of psychological drama, you don't know who to trust, you're traveling to Mars... You're fighting, you know, the resistance, all that shit, and then have it cap out at the very end, and then come back with a sequel where it's Minority Report style, where it's now the entire Time Police kind of thing. That is a series that could rock.
I have a few things, actually.
Mm-hmm. Not sure there's a few others I could think of, but that one I would...
I just needed a second to pause and think.
Yeah, that one and Buck Rogers. I'll always stand by Buck Rogers. I've been clamoring for that for years.
I'd say with the success of the Avengers,
mm-hmm.
a decent comic book, Marvel comic book,
yeah.
RPG style game that wasn't just a shitty action game or a
something that was actually deep.
Yeah, yeah, something with a lot of deep story. And it's, I mean, the comics provide so much canon for a deep story.
Yeah.
It's really crazy that there isn't like a really rich, deep comic book based RPG.
Yeah. No, there really should be. I mean, like, hell, even Spider-Man, you could do.
You could have made any of these an RPG, and the way that games have hybrided or kind of split off nowadays and combined lots of elements,
yeah,
it wouldn't be hard to add action elements to a game and make it an RPG, almost in the style that like Japanese RPGs are, like Final Fantasy, where mm-hmm. you might not necessarily get tons of upgrades to weapons, but you get upgrades to skills or the story is what's constantly evolving, you know.
Or they could do where it's quite a bit of a span, where it's, you know, the first part of the game you're covering your early years.
Well, like having a decent Superman game, growing up in Smallville and getting to Metropolis and kind of discovering yourself and things like that, you know?
Well, it's like with Fallout or even with Fallout 3 or even with Assassin's Creed 2, where you're starting off where you're just... I mean, hell, Assassin's Creed 2, you're born in the game, you have to move the arms and stuff, and that's just a creepy scene, but
it's fun. It's
fucking weird, you know, but something like that where it's showing, if they did Superman, they could do Smallville, where it's, you know, where it's him growing up, and he's having to deal with all that stuff, and he's starting to learn about his powers, then he moves to Metropolis, whole new city, so now you're not running around the farms anymore, now you're out in the city, trying to blend in, and go into the Daily Planet, all that stuff. It'd be awesome to have a Metropolis to run around in, like GTA style, or something like that. That is a huge map. They can do it nowadays. So,
well, we're in an age where we can make a really decent superhero game that just hasn't been made in that style. Like, I mean, the Spider-Man games are the one exception I can think of.
Yeah,
and I don't really care about the Marvel versus Capcom games because they're just fighting games. I don't count Injustice because, again, it's a fighting game.
Yeah.
And I do have some high hopes for Injustice, just because I know Brian's a really damn good designer, and I think he'll do a really good job.
Yeah.
But I don't see it being, like, you know, RPG story-based kind of thing, you know?
One of the last comic book games I played that I really liked, I played quite a few since then, but they weren't as good, was There's a few here and there that were noteworthy, but the one that really caught my attention and kept it, and I still love the game, is Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions. And I usually don't like Spider-Man games.
I'm not a Spider-Man fan, but that game is good.
Yeah, I usually don't like Spider-Man games. I think the one before that was for the Sega CD. That's how far back it goes. That was the last good Spider-Man game I had played before then. And that one, you fought, like, Doc Ock, Yufoka, Doc Krog, all those people.
Let's take another one, and it would end up just being, like, another Fallout-style game. It's not a franchise, but Book of Eli.
Book of Eli would have
made
a
cool-ass game.
Yeah, Book of Eli would have, yeah. It would have been, oh, of course you're blind, though. How would you have... Is the whole game black? And you just kind of... You use, like, sonar.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the look would be kind
of... I can't think of how many people I had to explain the end of that movie. He's blind.
You know, and it's crazy because I was watching it with my mom, and my mom got it within, like, the first few minutes.
I got it when
She's like, he's blind, isn't he?
Yeah, I got it when
because
he was in the house.
Yeah, because he was in the house.
He hops on the woods, and he looks to the side, but his head's down, and when he opens the door, that body falls. It doesn't scare him. He just sits there, and he looks to the side, and he knows there's a body there. And that's kind of how blind people do stuff. So I was like, okay, yeah, he's blind. So...
Well, he never drives anything.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I think that would be cool. I'm trying to think of any other game franchises.
Look at BLI would be interesting. Well, movie franchises. Oh, here's one. Here's one. They did make a game for it, and it was actually really good. And I would love to see them redo it, because Westwood did the original, and I have the original still. And if you haven't figured out what I'm talking about yet, it's right behind you. It's Blade Runner.
There's been... Okay, yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago when Westwood put that out. Also, Dune.
Oh, a decent Dune game, yeah.
Actually, there's
the two... RTS is alright, but...
Well, no, there's two decent Dune games. There's Dune 2000, which is actually pretty good. Then there actually is a third-person RPG called Dune Battle for Arrakis that was very short, and it takes place during the time where Paul Atreides leaves House Atreides... He's driven out of House Atreides, and he joins the Fremen. And it's all about his journey through the Fremen and becoming Usil and the Kwisatz Haderach. And it's all about that. And you get to do the thing with the Hunter Seeker, where you have to walk through the room really slow because they slipped one into your Fremen hideout. And it's actually not a bad game. It's just it was really short and it had a very abrupt ending. They could have carried it out quite a bit. So, other than that, every other Dune game is sucked ass.
I'd like to see a game based on Sherlock Holmes that was kind of more like the modern movies.
Oh, more like the modern ones. I was going to say the other ones, I own most of them.
They're more detective based, and that's cool, but
the new one's like more LA noir, which is really nice.
Is it actually pretty decent?
Yeah, I didn't play it. I got to watch a bunch of walkthroughs for it because I haven't purchased it yet, because I own all the other ones, and I was like, these are okay, but the new one that I've seen
with, like, a good mix of detective work and some decent combat, that would be really cool.
This one is a lot of detective work, and I didn't see too much of the combat, so, or if there is any. But having said, I watched the new Sherlock Holmes, the second one, the Game of Shadows.
Yeah.
I didn't like it as much as the first one. It was a little bit, it's like they knew they were a comedy this time. The first time it was a serious movie with a lot of humor from Sherlock.
I had a lot of fun with it.
The second one just seemed too like it was a little bit more slapstick.
The train scene is awesome. The
train scene was okay. It just seemed a little bit too
it's
slapstick.
Campy. I like the camp.
I know. I liked how the first one was done up. This one was just
like it almost at that point it was almost felt like almost like if Robert Rodriguez had directed the second one.
Yeah. But Sherlock Holmes would be bad. Going even further back, like the Iliad. Pull out some classic shit. You see these stories that are very reminiscent of something like the Iliad and the Odyssey, the story-wise, you know? But you don't actually see a video game for one of the most epic adventures
of all
time.
You do Dante's Inferno, but it's nothing like the book.
Yeah,
really.
It's nothing like the book is boring as shit. So, if that was a video game, it'd be a lot of walking, and then you'd faint, and Virgil would carry you around for a while. That would
be a lot of really fucked up
You do
up
an
things.
Endurance challenge as Virgil carrying Dante, just tap X, you know?
No more fucked up events.
Yeah, it'd be very boring. But no, the Iliad, that's fucking action-packed shit right there, dude. You could do that. Jason and the Argonauts, go back to some classical literature. Hell, let's go with some Telltale. Let's pull out some Oliver Twist.
You do
not really
base it off the classic. Do classic Clash of the Titans kind
of
thing.
Clash of Titans, that's what I was going with, Jason and the Argonauts. Go to that nice, good old fucking, you know, gods and humans just fucking piss fest. That's all it was. The gods are pissed off. So
that's our answers. Why don't you guys pour out some responses?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put out the question early this week. Mm.
An Iliad or Clash of Titans or Jason the Argonauts done up like Skyrim, where it's that nice first and third person RPG open world. It would be
that'd be a massive game. That'd be huge.
But it would be amazing as shit to see. It would be. I mean, they'd have to work on it for quite some time, but it would be worth it to see it.
So that's our take.
Yep. So what franchise of movies, books, and they've done movies of those.
Maybe not set up to be a franchise. Just pick a movie.
Just a movie that you think really deserves a game or received a game and it just totally flopped and you'd like to see them take another crack at it. So, another crack at that crack. So
as far as things coming out next week, Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
Revengeance.
Fuck a bag of that. Crisis 3.
When is Crisis 3 going to
be? Next week.
Did they have a demo out for that? I haven't looked.
No. It looks actually kind of cool, though.
Fuck EA, man. They need to start putting more demos up.
Serious Sam Double D XXL comes out the week after that. Ninja Gaiden Sigma 2 Plus comes out on Vita the week after that. Materia and Odyssey 4 Legends of the Titan comes out on 3DS. Is there anything? Brutal Engine comes out on PC 2 weeks from now. Shadowgate, 25th Anniversary Edition.
Oh, really? Wait, what's... Is that on PC, or...?
They're probably going to be on PC.
It doesn't say... Oh, God, Shadowgate, man. That takes me back.
I might play that.
I will buy that. Is that...
That's set for quarter
that's
one.
That's the original Shadowgate. That's not the 64 version. That's... Oh, wow.
That might be kind of fun.
Was that supposed to be on... It doesn't say what system?
No, it doesn't.
God damn. No, it's probably something
PC. Wrong. It says PC, iPhone, Mac, Android. So, tablet or PC game.
Yeah, so...
That'd be a cool game to be on a tablet.
Yeah, I can see it not really being too much of a hassle.
One thing that all of you people on Xbox and PS3 should play coming out next month that's going to be on download, Terraria. If you haven't played Terraria... Kind of 2D Minecraft action Metroid convergence. It's like, it's an action game that you can build some structures with. It's all 2D, it's side-scrolling with different environments as you go to the side, far, far, far to the right, or far, far, far to the left. It's a fucking great game.
Now, here's what's cool, because we didn't really get any details about this when we went over it, is it's awesome because they actually took the text... from Shadowgate, which was the last thing you remember is standing before the wizard Black Mirror as he gestured wildly, creating archaic patterns in the air. I remember that. But it's a Shadowgate 25th Anniversary Edition celebrates a classic adventure game and features stunning high-resolution artwork, new puzzles, and a new soundtrack. So it'd be nice to see that, like, up-resed and it says, PC, Apple II, Mac, and NES. What? No, what the... Mac CDI and Android, there we go. So yeah, I'm going to have to go and see if that's on Steam, because that's...
So, one of the things I think I'm going to do here, tell some of these really big titles come out, because we got Tomb Raider coming out next month.
Yeah.
I'll be getting that.
Yeah, I'm going to be buying that too, so...
God of War Ascension coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably get that as well. And we also got StarCraft II, Heart of the Swarm coming out.
Heart of the Swarm finally launching.
I will probably get that to play the single player. The single player on the first one is pretty good.
I need to finally get off my ass and buy StarCraft II. I still have not purchased it.
That's a pretty decent game.
No, I enjoy StarCraft I. That takes me back to my days of Diablo and even Diablo II. And
StarCraft II really does get it right. It's just the multiplayer is so damn competitive that unless you're playing with friends, and unless you're that kind of competitive, it's not really worth it.
Yeah.
But... All that aside, I mean, really stuff to look forward to. Crisis 3 could be good. That comes out next week. I might see if I can find a copy I can borrow or something. I just don't have the cash now. Mm-hmm. Shadowgate coming out. If that comes out before these other ones, I'll be playing that.
Well, I'm trying to find a price on it so I can see where it's coming out.
I can afford it no matter what.
Yeah, but I want to know exactly how much it is. Because, I mean, it could be like... Freaking Baldur's Gate Anniversary Edition, or freaking Doom BFG or
something. Man, like I need to get that Baldur's Gate game and just play that.
Baldur's Gate's pretty badass.
That's right there at the top.
Wow, look at that. Oh no, I'm just digging through all these other ones. So that's not Shadowgate the game. That's Shadowgate 64 right there. $55 brand new. Somebody's
But you can't find that anywhere.
It's $695 used right there. That's the highest price. There's probably much cheaper. No, they just go up from there. So, but the used ones are like, let's see, cartridge only, cartridge. No box, $695. I'm fine with that.
So, works all that right. Being said, really the only things big I see coming out in the next month. We got BioShock Infinite coming out sometime next month. Tomb Raider coming out fairly soon. Crysis 3, Shadowgate, God of War Ascension, and Heart of the Swarm.
I can't find anything for Shadowgate, so.
Yeah, it says Q1, which means they probably don't get a price.
No, but I mean, they should have it somewhere for pre-order, or at least an article about it talking about the price, so. But nothing. Doesn't matter.
So, that's all we got for new games. Really don't. I didn't miss anything. Oh, Gauntlet. What are we doing for Gauntlet?
Gauntlet, we are going to be doing ODST. Halo ODST. It's been a while.
Yeah, and we're going to be doing that the 23rd.
Yeah, it should be on the 23rd. It's going to be, the 23rd at 10 p.m. Central on Xbox.
Yeah, so we'll bust that out. We usually play that pretty late.
Yeah, there's nothing on here for shopping. Nothing.
So. That's it. That being the end of the episode, find us at facebook.com/chokecast. Like us and love us. Give us reviews on iTunes at iTunes, and just search us. Find us on Stitcher if you want to listen to us via Android. Find us at tilcast.com and email us at teabag@tilcast.com. Don't be afraid to send random emails. And we do like those. We get those occasionally as well.
Yep.
Also, find some of our friends at the Carousel Podcast. CarouselPodcast.com with our friends John and Scott. Also, don't forget Elseworlds Podcast, who we've had on the show a few times. Don't forget For the Love of Gaming at For the Love of Gaming. Also, don't forget BMFcast.com, NoQuarters.net, and TVGP.tv. They do good things, and all of these links are on the side of our website.
Yep.
So, with that, we're going to leave you alone. We'll come back with some news next week. Me and Trent will try to play something different than what we've been playing, I guess. You'll come up with some more Silent Hill shit, and that's it for our episode. So we'll see you guys next week.
See you guys then.